عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته حضرت مفتي ابو صاحب اهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you on this beautiful Monday morning. May Allah Ta'ala bless you and the family with the afiyat. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the platform is yours.
Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allah khairan jazak. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our wonderful listeners out there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all to His deen. And may Allah enable us with opportunities to serve Him. And as the month of Ramadan is rapidly approaching, may Allah help us to make right and change our lives. Actually, to reset the way we are spending our lives, to correct it, where this month of Ramadan is actually a stepping stone to please Allah and to change forever. Like we learn and hear from the pious, if we're traveling at speed on the highway that has three or four lanes and we are on the right lane, now if in a kilometer or two our off-ramp is coming, we're going to have to take the left turn, the off-ramp on the left side. It wouldn't be wise to remain on our same track or lane right till the off-ramp. Then we'll have to cross lanes and we might meet up in an accident. The wiser thing, or the wisest thing to do, would be to slowly make our way to the left lane already, so that when the off-ramp comes, we are ready and we are easily taking that off-ramp. So that's why we have to actually concentrate on the month of Ramadan and change and bring the amal of Ramadan alive in our lives from now, so that we are accustomed to it and we're used to spending our lives like that. And that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned an amazing hadith, and this hadith is in Nasa'i. And in this hadith, he was asked by Hazrat Usama that, O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I see you do much more deeds and fast in this month, more than other months. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this month between Rajab and Ramadan, which is Sha'ban, is generally neglected. And it's a month where our deeds are raised to the heavens. So that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did more deeds. And in this hadith he says, and I want my deeds to be raised whilst I'm in the state of fast. So Allah give us tawfiq to spend this month correctly. We were discussing Sahaba radiallahu anhum, but who hailed from Jewish backgrounds, and also some that hailed from Christian backgrounds. And they became the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the disciples of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we mentioned clearly, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clearly described in the previous scriptures. It is so clear that it's only biasness that stops one from recognizing that and seeing that, as we mentioned in the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament. So one of these so-called rabbis of the past, but who changed their lives, was Zahid bin Sa'na. What happened here was, he mentions that he learned about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his teacher, a Jewish rabbi. And this Jewish rabbi's name was Ibn al-Hayyaban. He came from the Syrian region in the old days. And when he came to the lands of Yathrib at the time, known now as Madinatul Munawwara, the city of the Prophet, in history it was known as Yathrib. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the name of Madina Munawwara from Yathrib to Madina, to Tayba, to Taba, because of the connotation and the meaning in the word Yathrib that means to ruin or destruction and ruination. So because the word and the meaning of the word is negative, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed it. And that's so beautiful, the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the name or the meaning of something is evil or has some sort of ruining in it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would change it to a beautiful name, a peaceful name, a loving name, a kind name. And there's an example of that in many Sahaba's lives. There was one Sahabi's name, his name was Emotions, Grief. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed his name and said, you are kind and your name is Sahal, not Hazan, approachable, lenient, merciful. So as Ibn al-Hayyaban was discussing a lesson, this lesson was attended by the narrator, Zayd bin Sa'na, and he was captivated by the discussion of Ibn al-Hayyaban. And as he was listening, Ibn al-Hayyaban
mentioned about the final Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in this, there was a discussion that why would Ibn al-Hayyaban leave the lands of Syria, which was basically the lands of milk and honey. Beautiful, amazing region. The ambience, the greenery, the weather, the pleasures. You leave that land and you come to this desert, Arabia, and then Medina Munawwara. What prompted you to leave those lands? That even the holy books speak of the blessings of Palestine and the surrounding areas and Syria. And you come here. Were you hindered from practicing your faith there? So Ibn Hayyaban responded that no, Syria and Sham is as you have described, a land of beautiful sweet water, amazing ambiance, the environment of pleasures and the growth of fruit and crop. It is as you are saying, but what brought me here was the arrival of the final Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the city of yours is the land of his migration. مَكَانَ هِجْرَتِي وَمُنْطَلَقَ دَعْوَتِي. And this is where his message will reach the four corners of the world. So Zayd then said, are you referring to the final messenger who is known as النَّبِيُّ الْعَرَبِي, the Nabi who would be unlettered, al-Ummi, and he would be Arab, that we also find in our books as given as glad tidings of, and we even mentioned his good news to our children. So Ibn Hayyaban said, no, that's who I'm referring to. And he kept on discussing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and describing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the community. And Hazrat Zayd said that Ibn Hayyaban, not long thereafter, passed away before fulfilling his dream of seeing the final Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Ibn Hayyaban passed on, then news came that Allah's beloved, the final Nabi of Allah, will, you know, is in Makkah Mukarramah and he's calling to the greatness of Allah. So Zayd ibn Sa'ana would now convey this message to the Jewish community in Medina Munawwara. And now they are researching and they're looking into it further. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finally came to Medina Munawwara, the Jewish community were very upset and the jealousy knew no bounds, where they couldn't bear that Nubuwa had come out of the Israelites. Even though they were clearly told in their books that the final Nabi of Allah will not be from the Israelites and Allah is replacing you with an unlettered people. Unlettered means when the people that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to at first, reading and writing would not be common among them. That's how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Ummah, the Sahaba, are described in the previous scriptures. The nation that is unlettered, as they were very intelligent people, their memories were phenomenal and remarkable. But most of them would not read and write. There were a few isolated cases here and there, but we see from the life of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, he didn't read and write because that's how he was prophesied. And that's how the Qur'an is so more miraculous. But as far as reading and writing is concerned, the Qur'an exhorts one to read and to write and to learn. The first verses of the Qur'an al-Kareem, the word reading, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, read in the name of thy Lord who created. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ, he who created man, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ, Allah created man from a clot of blood. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ, اقرأ, read, and your Lord is most noble and most kind and most generous. So there's two injunctions of reading. Read the Qur'an and read to learn. So reading is pertinent. Imagine the second verses to be revealed, or the second session of verses, also has mention of the pen. Noon wal qalam wa ma yasturun. There's an interesting incident that Ma'mun, who was the Khalifa in his time, son of Harun al-Rashid, there was a man whose writing was quite, bad writing, untidy, and his eloquence was maimed. He made a lot of mistakes in grammar when speaking. So Ma'mun called him and said, you know, the way you are speaking with so many grammatical mistakes is unacceptable. You have to correct your grammar. When speaking, use the correct words and use it in the correct tense with the correct pronunciation. Correct yourself as well as your writing. So that man responded and said, even the Prophet didn't write and read. So what's the harm in that? So the man said, I find that with your other incorrect or unworthy qualities, you have another trait in you that's also so despicable. He says, what is that? He says, ignorance. He says, that was a miracle in the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite him being the most intelligent of all Allah's creation. Allah made him the most intelligent. But despite that, he couldn't read and write because that's how he was prophesied in the previous books. For us, not to be able to read and write is ignorance. So reading and writing is important. But this is a miracle of the Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time also, and all times are his time because he came for humanity. He came for all times. He came for all nations. He came for all people. Interestingly, after Sahaba conquering Badr, those who couldn't pay the 4,000 dirham fee for their ransom, and they could read and write, they were designated, or 10 children were designated to them under supervision to teach those children reading and writing. And that's how they could earn their freedom. So imagine the importance Islam gave to this aspect as well. Anyway, when the news came that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is coming now to Medina Munawwarah, he's arriving, the Jewish community there were more enraged and their hearts were filled in hatred and animosity. But Nabi bin Sana had another intention and another aspiration. Let's learn this incident, and you'll find it in the Hayat al-Sahaba, Volume 1. So amazing is this incident. So Zayd says, when Allah's beloved arrived in Medina Munawwarah, I analyzed it. And we found a very similar event to this part in that of the previous Sahabi we discussed, who was the Jewish Rabbi of Medina, Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu anhu. Zayd says, I looked into his face, I tried to do more research, and I found every sign concerning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's there enshrined in our books. I found that apparent and glaring and clear in the appearance of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I found everything there. But there was another trait that could not be seen with the physical eye, but had to be experienced through transaction, through interaction. And he is described in the previous books as being very forbearant. يَسْبِقُ حِلْمُهُ جَهْلَهُ. That people would show him ignorance and he would fill and overwhelm them with forbearance. He would overwhelm the ignorance of people with forbearance. And then the second one is similar. When people increase in ignorance in treating him, he increases in generosity, kindness, and politeness. So Zayd says, this I have to experience. I would put it now and again, appear there, and sit with the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sit with the others, I would be there in the gathering. On one occasion, I was there, and with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his companion, Hazrat Ali, radiallahu anhu. And a man came from the wilderness, and he mentioned, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a congregation of people in a certain area, they had embraced Islam, and I told them, if they become Muslim, Allah will bless them with lots of sustenance and blessings in their life. And they are now suffering drought and a pitiable state. There's lack of rain, there's lack of food. I fear that like the entire community came into Islam. Yes, they came in with the intention of acquiring something. I hope they don't leave Islam. Would you be able to be so kind to help them with something? We find from here, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave Dawat, he never promised people that they'll get wealth. But okay, in this scenario, when we study this incident, the incident of the people of Medina Munawwara is very clear. When they asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in that Hajj, when they came to meet him, after Hazrat Mus'ab made a full year of effort in Medina Munawwara, they asked him, what is in it for us? What will we get out of this if we make this sacrifice to come into deen, be among the early Muslims? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say anything like you'll get blessings in this world, or get abundance of wealth and position and status in this world. This was nothing in the promise. He said, your paradise will be guaranteed. Yes, what we can tell non-Muslims is when you become Muslim, Allah can bless you with wealth in this world. But the main thing is, not every Muslim is rich. You're not guaranteed wealth when you embrace Islam, but you will find contentment, peace, happiness. You'll have an amazing way of life if you uphold the commandments of Allah, and your relationship with your Creator will be built strong. Let me tell you, many people have all the wealth in the world, but they end up committing suicide. It's because they realize that they're still not happy. Before getting the wealth, they thought, when I have the wealth, I'll be happy, and now they're still not happy. So we find that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't mention this in his da'wah. Okay, it happened that here he's the disciple mentioned this. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't want them now to lose their iman. And he then looked around, and just then Zayd said that this is my opportunity, because they didn't have anything to send. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to send something to that community with that disciple. So I came close to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I said, oh Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you want, I can make a deal with you. Take this amount of dates, and you pay me with this amount of money or dates. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, I'll pay you this amount and on this date. So Zayd said, I took out the money. I gave him 80 misqal of gold, and I handed it over to him. He gave it to the man and said, give it to your community and be just and share it with them. So Zayd says, but now I have to seize the opportunity. And prior to the passage of those of that period, before the time of payment came in by 2 to 3 days, I one day saw the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and with him was Abu Bakr and Umar. Allahu Akbar. They were just performing a janazah prayer, a prayer for the deceased, for one of the Muslims who had passed on. They had completed the prayer. I then charged towards him, and I grabbed him, and I looked at him very, very angrily, and I said, oh Muhammad, why don't you pay my dues? You people, your family, are known to oppress the rights of people and usurp their rights. Why don't you pay on time? I know your nature. And I insulted him in public. My time has elapsed. We have to discuss this incident, inshallah, when Allah gives us the next opportunity. What happened when Zayd disrespected our beloved in public? What happened thereafter? Allah give us the understanding. Respected Ummah, look into the truth. Follow the truth and share the truth with humanity. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi wa sallam.